Well, as the Waitangi Tribunal examines the government's controversial review of its founding legislation, treaty scholar and litigate Dr. Carwin Jones is raising concerns about the process, its integrity and its implications for Māori rights under the treaty. Carwin, as well, has been the co-editor of a pukapuka that's out as we speak, looking at 50 years of the Waitangi Tribunal. And you've heard in our previous conversation Winston dissing the tribunal, its lack of binding powers, etc. Well, that might be true, but even so, the findings of the tribunal over time have influenced political opinions and has helped to shape our nation across that last 5 decades. So that's the background to our conversation this morning. Hey, Carwin, tēnā koe.
Yeah, tēnā koe.
Thanks very much. Look, before we go into that, with the passing of Whatarangi, and Carwin is the rangatira for Māori laws and philosophy at Te Wānanga o Raukawa, which really was a kaupapa established by Whatarangi. We've known our chief has been quite ill over the last few years, Carwin, but he has passed away. Your thoughts, please, about Whatarangi, his contribution to our education scene, but to the wider Māori landscape, Carwin.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's a very sad time for Te Wānanga o Raukawa, but for Te Ao Māori, and Whatarangi, of course, was instrumental in not just the establishment of Te Wānanga o Raukawa, which, you know, was the first wānanga, first tertiary institution to be based on centering mātauranga Māori, centering whakapapa, centering te reo Māori as part of that work. But also he was a key architect of whakatupuranga ruamano, experiment in tribal development, I think it was called, that really underpinned Te Wānanga o Raukawa and so much else. So he's provided an amazing example of how we can re-centre Te Ao Māori and all the things that we do, how we can re-centre mātauranga Māori, and not just as something that sits in the past, but something that we can tend and care for and nurture and develop and add to as we confront different issues today.
And a reminder too, with that foresight, as a people, we're playing the long game. We're not going anywhere. And so long-term planning makes sense. At the time, eyebrows were raised when he was looking at that kaupapa to empower the iwi and our people 25 years in advance. And it seemed unusual, but now it's not unusual for us to have considerations of 500-year plans, 1,000-year plans. As I say, we're a people, this is our land, and we're not going anywhere. So lessons for us all in that attitude there.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Whatarangi would often talk about the survival of Māori as a people, and, you know, the fact that we are here, we're not going anywhere, but that we need to, if we want to retain our the things that make us distinctive, then we need to think about and focus on nurture those aspects of Te Ao Māori, in particular thinking about our mātauranga too in that context.
Tēnā koe. And again, this morphs into our kōrero today. Firstly, thank you for that pukapuka. It is important that we gauge some of the important kaupapa that has come before the Waitangi Tribunal since its inception in 75. And here we are now, 50 years on and more, and still an important forum for us to air our hara and to chart a way forward. Now, the tribunal has heard concerns about gaps in consultation. From your perspective, what's been missing from the treaty review process, particularly in terms of Māori engagement and participation? And tell us more, please, about the importance of this challenge, bearing in mind the patronising attitude of politicians who think their intellect exceeds all others and wanting to determine how the treaty is utilised in modern-day Aotearoa. Might you be kind enough to just give us an overview of the challenges that are being raised in the tribunal as we speak, please, Carwin?
Yes, so this is just over the last couple of days. The Waitangi Tribunal's been holding an urgent hearing into the review of treaty principle clauses in legislation. And so this was quite a wide review of, and ended up encompassing 19 different pieces of legislation that have these treaty provisions, so provisions that might require people who are exercising powers under the Act to perhaps give effect to the principles of the treaty or to take into account those principles when they're making decisions, those kinds of things. And it covers a wide range of different pieces of legislation, from things like the Climate Change Response Act to the Criminal Cases Review Commission, Data and Statistics Act, Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, Pai Ora Healthy Futures Act, Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act. So a wide range of different pieces of legislation. So this is going to have quite a significant impact on the ability for Māori to have their rights recognised and have that accountability to the Crown, because we know that these kind of treaty principles provisions have become a kind of key mechanism that government has used to give some recognition to tiriti interests in legislation. And what we've seen as a result of this review, there's been the government has cabinet decided in February to repeal treaty provisions, so to take out the treaty provisions from five pieces of legislation, but also for all other pieces of legislation to have a standard of obligation that is no higher than take into account the principles of the treaty. So there'll be no more requirements to give effect to the treaty, but only to take into account, which the concerning thing there, of course, is that means that that becomes one factor then of many things that can just be dismissed, whereas if you're having to give effect to it, then it requires deeper engagement and to act in accordance with those principles. So one of the key concerns there are lots of really substantive concerns about that, and the tribunal heard from people involved in a whole range of areas. Hone Harawira and Shane Bradbrook spoke to issues around the smoke-free legislation and changes there and what the implications would be. We had some really interesting evidence yesterday from some of our Māori health leaders, like Professor Paparangi Reid, talking about the impact on Māori health. And so there are those really substantive concerns. But then there's also, as you mentioned, real concerns about the engagement with Māori that's taken place through this process as well, which essentially there's been no engagement. After Cabinet made the decision, a letter was sent to the National Iwi Chairs Forum, but that has been all. So that's after the decisions have effectively been made and to one organisation. And that's contrary to what officials had advised. The Ministry of Justice officials had said that if such wide-ranging reforms need a significant process of both general and targeted consultation. It had also been something that the Waitangi Tribunal had earlier recommended, that if this review was going ahead, that it would be something, if it was going to be consistent with treaty principles itself, it would need to engage Māori. And that just simply hasn't happened. The minister, Paul Goldsmith, is the minister responsible for this, and he has just ignored those recommendations. But he's also ignored all the recommendations about the impact of these changes, because the government is saying we're making these changes to give greater clarity and certainty about what these provisions mean. But actually, the advice from officials in the regulatory impact statement, the advice from the Ministerial Advisory Group, which was an independent group set up to review these principles, neither of those groups recommended repealing any treaty provisions, because they said that would create greater uncertainty, because we have become used to the application of these treaty principles in law and in policy. We've got a pretty good idea about what they mean, and to remove them would create a whole lot of uncertainty then about how Māori interests are to be taken into account.
Tēnā koe, we have respect for the work that the Tribunal have done and the quality of those who have been part of the forum across time. But even so, we must acknowledge that it doesn't have binding powers, so it is conveniently overlooked or dismissed by politicians. You've suggested that the Tribunal's findings in another way do help to shape political perspectives, but the lack of binding powers, are we pushing the proverbial uphill? And even though we argue our case in the Tribunal, how likely is it to see legislative change that acknowledges the Tribunal's findings, Carwin?
Yes, well, then, I mean, that is a real challenge about the Tribunal's jurisdiction, is that it only has power in most cases to make recommendations to government that aren't binding. But what we saw, you know, you mentioned at the top the our Puka Puka, looking back at 50 years of the Waitangi Tribunal, and what we saw looking back over that time is that even if the Tribunal's recommendations are not immediately taken up, that the Tribunal has been very influential in shifting the public conversation, providing good information and analysis about the application of Te Tiriti to different aspects of our of public life. And by providing that analysis, it often enables future decisions to be made. So even if the Tribunal's recommendations aren't taken up immediately, that strong analysis can be taken forward so that and shape the conversation so that in a way that they often do eventually end up becoming adopted. So there's a kind of long-term perspective there, but also one of the other people who gave evidence at the Waitangi Tribunal on Tuesday was Professor Philip Joseph, who's a professor in law at the University of Canterbury, one of our kind of foremost constitutional legal experts in Aotearoa, and he gave, even though the Tribunal's recommendations are not binding, that there's a legal obligation on the government to give considered, careful, good faith consideration to the Tribunal's recommendations and its reports, and to demonstrate that it is engaging with those reports in an open-minded kind of way. And so he was laying out that actually there may well be opportunities to challenge, I think, government's decision-making if it's clear that the government has just ignored the Tribunal. Government's free to take a different view to the Tribunal, but his evidence was very much suggesting that those reports, those recommendations that come from the Tribunal, must be engaged with in good faith by the government. And certainly we haven't seen any of that here. We've seen the Minister being very dismissive of the Tribunal's work, and indeed of his own officials and the advice he got from the Ministerial Advisory Group that he set up.
Well, if the findings are in favour from this or for this Māori perspective, despite a lack of consultation, at least then it can be tabled, and it can serve as an embarrassment to governments who continue to be dismissive of the Tribunal's role in helping to shape the country's future. And in that, we sense important, mahi. I thank you once again, Carwin, for sharing time with us and talking about the importance of this challenge against the political and legislative environment that wants to continue to demean us. And we'll follow the situation with the Tribunal's findings closely. As always, appreciate your thoughts and time with Te Rangatira. Thank you, Carwin.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us.